Ask for an interest in your prayers today. The Lord alone is our help. Looking unto Him and His Spirit to bless His Word this morning. Amen. I have a burden that the Lord has given me about prospering in our prosperity. We live in a world and a country that I'm thankful for. The freedoms that we have, the American dream that sometimes we've heard about of being able to, and it seems like especially at election cycles we hear stories of politicians that come along trying to connect with the American people and trying to convey a story of this is what it means to be a partaker of the American dream. Usually tell a story of my parents had nothing or had very little and was able to go and make something of my life and make a success of it. And in spite of hardship, in spite of the difficulties that were handed to me in life, was able to pull myself up by opportunity, by my own bootstraps, and make something of my life. That captures hope. It captures the imagination, the hope that if you're able to do it, then I can too. Then maybe, despite my circumstances, I too can prosper and be able to have a good living and be able to provide for my family and have of the hope of the American dream. Well, I'm thankful that the Lord has come to give us something beyond that. He's come to give us some spiritual riches. The Lord has come to give us something whereby we can prosper spiritually. As a people and individually, something that far surpasses the wealth of this world. The blessing of the Lord, the Scripture says, maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow with it. That's the prosperity for which the Lord wants us to strive. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning in the first verse. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Remember, the Lord looked down at a time whenever his people were held in bondage in Egypt, whenever they groaned to be able to be delivered and to be able to be set free and released from the bondage of their captors. He looked down and he heard the groaning and he heard their cry and he delivered them. And he had given a promise to them that there is a land for you that flows with milk and honey. It's a land of abundance. It's not a land that you just barely try to get by, that you just barely have enough sustenance to sustain you through the next day. But it is a land, the idea and the promise that was given to them, it's an abundant land that flows with milk and honey. You don't have to go and just scrounge to try to find enough to get by. Folks, the Lord has provided for us enough to be able to prosper spiritually. He's provided for us the resources to be able, for every one of us, regardless of our situation in life, that I too can prosper. You know, we hear so much in our world today of strife and conflict and class warfare and race warfare and so much of one that's pitted against another. Remember the Occupy Wall Street movement? I don't intend to become political here, but much of what was being said there, you have a silver spoon that was given to you. You had every advantage that was given to you. It's not fair. I want you to give the same to me. Let's redistribute everything so that we can have equally. Well, if only I had an inheritance like that, I could be wealthy too. I'm thankful that we serve an equal opportunity Savior. I'm thankful that regardless of my circumstances and situation, I don't have to look on those that are prospering spiritually and think if only this situation was different in my life, If only this circumstance was different. If only I lived with a different person. If only I had a different job. If only this, if only that. I too could prosper. But I'm thankful that the Lord has given everything to us to be able to give us the opportunity that we too can be prosperous spiritually.
Amen.
So the desire here for the Israelites, I have a land for you that flows with milk and honey, that you might be able to increase. You know, the increasing had already begun to happen in Egypt. Under the hardship of Egypt, it was why they looked upon the nation and said, we need to afflict them more because we're afraid. They're growing in number and we don't want them to become too mighty of a nation. Even under hardship and adversity, the church has prospered down throughout time. In difficulty, whenever the enemies of God's people have come in, it's been a time many times of prosperity, of being able to grow, of being able to increase.
Amen.
So they did even in Egypt. But the Lord said, I want you to go out and possess this land. You remember as they were looking out over the land, He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I'll give it unto you. How much do you want to be able to take in? How much of the possession or the inheritance do you want to inherit? Are you contented to take just a half acre plot in town? Nothing wrong with that, literally. But Lord, I want to take as much of this possession as you have for me. Oh, the scripture in Isaiah, the instruction was to lengthen thy cords, expand the place of your tent, the place of your dwelling. Lord, help me that I not be satisfied with a little corner lot somewhere. But as Caleb said, oh, give me this mountain. I'm 85 years old. I have every excuse. I've got every reason to say I don't need to go and possess this. Folks, I want to encourage and challenge us this morning that the Lord has more for every one of us. Let's put in for it. Lord, I want to prosper in my spiritual inheritance, in what you have given to me, to be able to go in and increase, to enlarge the place of our tent.
Amen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I want you to know as part of this promise, there's something that I'm going to give you as an inheritance. You're not going to be able to work your way into it. You're not going to be able by your own righteousness, by your own works. You're not going to be able, but it'll be given to you. It'll be a possession and an inheritance that is yours for you to claim. Houses that you didn't build, and vineyards that you didn't plant, and wells that you didn't dig. We live in a world, in a society, in a nation that is spiritually bankrupt, of values, of understanding of right and wrong, of moral foundation that our country used to have more of. There's bankruptcy in lives and homes and governments, state governments and our federal government, in marriages. Folks, our world is spiritually bankrupt.
Amen.
Oh, the Lord would have us that we have something on hand.
Amen.
That we be able to prosper in the things of the Lord and be rich unto good works. To be rich in the things that the Lord has given unto us. Whenever I bring you to this place, you'll have an abundance. You remember a time a while back when there was a program called cash for clunkers. You have a vehicle that if you can drag or pull into the car lot, they'd give you so many thousand, 4,000 or something for that vehicle. No matter what the worth was, you're given cash for your clunker. You know, this plan of salvation goes so far beyond that. This is a plan whereby He said, I'll take you, the song that we sing, the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of a king. Oh, thank the Lord that He takes us when we have nothing. When we were yet sinners, He died for us and He gave us the greatest riches that we could ever hope to possess. Take that which is ashes, worthless, nothingness, a broken life, a broken home, broken hopes and dreams, that the Lord can take that and exchange it and give something in its place that's so valuable, that's so rich in our lives. Thank the Lord for it. But what I want us to understand and see here is the warning, beware, lest whenever I give you all these things, that something not happen. That in your prosperity, you begin to become bankrupt. In your prosperity of your situation of life, it's been given to you, it's been handed down to you, that you don't begin to take it for granted. Oh, we've heard of the greatest generation, those that have gone before us and those that have given their lives for our freedoms, that have caught a vision and a glimpse of a greatness of freedom and said, I'm willing to give my life for it. But do you know what's been able to happen? There was a man, Alexander Tytler, that wrote of it, of a cycle of democracy. He says you can watch this cycle that happens whenever a people or a nation rise up out of persecution, out of opposition or out of slavery, and they have great courage and they rise up and they're given liberty and freedom. He said so often that leads to a complacency. It leads to an abundance, which then leads to a complacency, which leads to an apathy. Oh, folks, we've been given a great inheritance. Thank the Lord, as the people of God, we have a great and a rich heritage that we've been given. Lord, help us not to take it for granted. Lord, help us not to count it of little value. Of the wealth of resources that we have at our disposal. I was telling someone recently, was over in Germany, and telling him of some of the websites that you can go to. Writings throughout the years that saints have written of books and of tracts, and they got a Faith and Victory paper that you can go and at a couple clicks of a mouse, you can access all this library and vast resources. Folks, we have been given a goodly heritage. Are we taking advantage of it? One individual was talking to me and said, Clint, you know, I think if we're not careful, it can be a detriment to us. I said, what do you mean by that? How could that be a detriment to us? And he said, because we can get into a place that I think I've got it on my bookshelf. If I ever need to go to it, if I ever need to understand it, I know where to go. If I ever need to understand what the Bible teaches about speaking in tongues, I can go to a book that I know someone wrote. And oh, I thank the Lord for it. I don't want to devalue that. We heard of the old things, of the old storehouse that we can go to. But folks, in 2015, the Lord still wants to inspire revelation to our hearts. He still wants us to catch the vision. The vision of 1880 wasn't a closed book. We're still in the evening light and in the morning light. The same light is still shining. Lord, help me that I not get into a complacency. And folks, I want to be very clear. I thank the Lord for those resources. But what I want us to understand, Lord, teach us to prosper in our prosperity. Because many times a people have prospered in hardship. Whenever there's persecution in Egypt, they began to prosper. But He said, be careful. Amen. Whenever you have it all at your disposal and all at your fingertips, be careful then That you don't get careless. That you don't begin to just take it for granted. That you don't begin to labor for it for yourself. You know, I've been so inspired to read of the story of the early morning Christians.
Amen.
To read of those that were burned at the stake and the victory that they had. To see those that when the enemy was trying to squash out Christianity in every way that he could. He was trying to persecute the woman, trying to persecute the church, trying in every way he could to hinder and block. You know what began to happen? It began to flourish. It began to grow. It began to spread. By that, the gospel message was spread throughout the world. Oh, whenever Herod thought, I'll go and try to kill all the two-year-olds. I'll put a stop to this. How foolish. How foolish to think that I can hinder the work of God. To think that somehow I can stop it. Thank the Lord that the church is still alive. That is still strong and the gates of hell will never be able to prevail against it. But I look at a time like that. Whenever there was fear of or the risk or the possibility. Whenever I go and I give my testimony that I'm a child of God. That I face the risk of losing my life. You talk about a fervency. You talk about dealing with lukewarmness. Do I mean it? Do I have a fervency about what I'm doing? But the church began to prosper. It began to flourish in that time. Folks, we don't live in that time today. We can look at that time and think, oh, what a blessing not to be under the persecution, but to see the growth. Folks, it came at a cost. It came at a price. Lord, help us. The Scripture says that you don't inquire wisely. If you look back and say, what is the cause that the former days are better than these days? Oh, back in the good old days. Back whenever there was interest in the work of the Lord and in the things of God. Folks, the Lord doesn't want us to sit around wishing and looking to the past and thinking, if only.
Yes.
If only I lived in another era. Boy, I could sure be fervent for the Lord. If only I lived in another time, I too could be on fire for the Lord. Oh, as Mordecai said to Esther, who knows? But why the Lord put you in the kingdom for such a time as this. Folks, this is our time. This is our era. This is the day that we live in. And the Lord wants us to be able, in this our day, to prosper. In this our day, to be able to flourish. To be able to enlarge the place of our tent. But Israel, as they went, they obtained the land. What did they do? They began to lose it. They began to lose sight of the vision. And we read the history of Israel over and over of forgetting the Lord their God. Losing sight of the Lord. Beginning to get involved with the other things and the gods around them. The Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 15, when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord, then the Lord heard their cry. The Lord then was able to reveal Himself to them again. But it took some hardship. It took some trouble. My burden has been, Lord, help us. In our day and our time, we're not facing yet the risk of persecution in America to that extent. It's quickly going in that direction. If the Lord allows time to go that way. But folks, in this, our day, in our time in 2015 and going into 16, what are the dangers? Lord, give me discernment of the times that we live in. Of the dangers that I face. The danger that I face may not be the stake. But folks, there's a danger that's waiting for us that's just as dangerous. The enemy wants to get us into a place of complacency, of lukewarmness, where I don't have the fervor and the fire within my own spirit and soul, where I live a shallow experience. I'm content to live off of the prosperity of others. That I'm content, you just give me some of what you have. What I want is the wealth that you found. Just give a little bit of it to me. Instead of saying and looking and realizing, thinking back now to our nation, so many, yes, there are those that have been given a silver spoon, so to speak. But how many people by sweat and labor and hard work have built up a business, a company? Wasn't that part of the curse? Amen. By the sweat of your brow. By hard work and by diligence. Folks, we don't earn our own salvation. But Lord, help us that I be willing. That I recognize this is something that's worth putting forth an effort for. Worth putting forth diligent application to. Lord, I want to possess more land in my life. Lord, I want a greater understanding of Your Word. Lord, I want a closer walk with You. A deeper consecration. The Lord has that for us. I'd like to look at the scripture that was referenced in Sunday school, 4th chapter of Philippians. Philippians 4, beginning with the 11th verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Lord, help us to learn. When adversity comes, let's hold this and pick up a scripture in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Lord, teach us to be able to prosper when we are abased. Whenever we are in need, whenever we are in lack, whenever we are in trouble, Lord, help me to use those things to prosper, to be able to benefit by it, to be able to spiritually prosper by that thing. But Lord, help us also to prosper in our prosperity. Lord, help us in our lives of relative ease compared to what so much of the world has seen. Those that have gone before us have seen and experienced. Lord, help us to know how to prosper in this day. I know both how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I know how to prosper in both. The Psalms, the first chapter, speaking of the righteous man that flourishes. He brings forth fruit. He brings forth leaves. But whenever the drought comes, it doesn't fade away. He's found something. He's rooted himself in something. That whether hard times come or prosperity, whether on the mountaintop or whether in the valley, reminded of a place where the king of Israel was facing the enemy that came against him, and the Lord gave a victory. The prophet came to him and said, mark what you do. Strengthen yourself. Because the enemy will be back. The enemy isn't here right now. You're not facing him before you. But be careful in prosperity. Be careful in your time of ease. Be careful whenever the enemy isn't coming against you like a flood. That you not let up. You ever play with a dog and you take a rope or a rag or something and you're playing tug of war with them? You get a good strong dog and you can't get it out of their mouth. I'm determined. I'm holding on to this thing. But you take it and you let up a little bit. You let the pressure off a little bit. Many times the dog will relax his grip. And it gives you the opportunity to jerk it back out. Not just instructing us how to play tug of war with a dog. I want us to be challenged to know how to fight the enemy of our souls whenever hard times are upon us. Lord, help me to know how to sink my teeth in and hold on. That I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let loose of the Lord because of hardship, because of persecution, because, oh, but this person, but this happened to me. Lord, I'm going to hold on.
Amen.
But in prosperity. You think the enemy doesn't do the same thing? Let up just a little bit? Give us a little bit of ease to try to cause us to relax our grip. Lord, help us to know how to prosper in prosperity. To know how to be abased and how to abound. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. The instruction here, beginning the 15th verse, won't read all of this. You know, there are some hard situations and circumstances of life that I couldn't begin to stand here and say, I understand, or I know what you're going through. But I thank the Lord for the grace of God. I'm thankful that the grace of God is able to meet us wherever we are. Think of the song, Salvation is the Sweetest Thing. To me, it is a what? A rich estate. To me, it is a rich estate that the Lord has given. Grace that is abounding. His grace is free as the air we breathe. We can each have a full supply. Thank the Lord that He's given unto every one of us. The 5th chapter of Isaiah. It talks about, my beloved has planted a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He took out the stones of it. He planted the vineyard with the choicest vines. And He came back looking to see whether it would bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. And He said, judge between me. Is there anything more that I could have done? You know, whenever we come down to the end of our life, regardless of our circumstances, we'll have to be able to say, there's nothing more the Lord could have done. He gave everything to me in my circumstance, in my need, in my unique place of life. The Lord had available for me the grace and the courage and the strength to be able to rise above that and prosper my own self. Speaking here of the unbelieving husband, the unbelieving wife, might be so much easier to just get out of the situation. But He said, if you'll stick with it, if you'll abide faithful, who knows but what the companion can be won by your godly conversation. 17th verse, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. You realize what He's saying here? Whatever your circumstance of life, live for the Lord. Amen. Live out that gospel. Live out the experience of salvation. I don't have to sit in my circumstance and say, if only I was brother so-and-so. If only I was sister so. All they've got is so easy. My own life, my own hardships, what has been dealt to me. As the world would say, the hand that's been dealt to me. The odds are stacked against me. Oh, it is against everyone, but I'm thankful the Lord is not a God of chance. He's not a God that rolls the dice and gambles, but He has the ability in every one of our circumstances of life to raise us up above it. It is the grace of God. It is the great plan of salvation to be able, in whatever your circumstance, abide there with the Lord. Abide there in your circumstance. It isn't for me to try to say, oh, we live in 2015, it's a prosperous time. Saints, I want you to go sell 80% of what you have. I want you to go sell your houses and we'll put up a tent camp somewhere so we don't have so much stuff. If the Lord calls for it, you listen to His voice.
Yes.
But you know what the Lord would have us do rather? In 2015, Lord, give me wisdom.
Amen.
to know how to prosper in my prosperity. Lord, help me to know how to take what you've dealt to me. Lord, help me to know how to take what you've given me in my life and use it to the glory of God, to be able to prosper spiritually, whatever the circumstance, whatever my situation in life is. Lord, help me to use it to your glory. Help me to find your grace in the midst of it, to be a good steward of whatever it is that the Lord gives me, of whatever it is the Lord entrusts to my care. Paul said, I believe, perhaps it was Timothy, unto Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they trust not in uncertain riches, talks about us being rich in good works. Whether it's money, whether it's financial means as the world measures it, whether it's time, you know, we're all so busy. But if you really think about it, many of us have more leisure time than a lot of generations that have gone before us. Heard a brother in Germany that was talking about the hardship that they faced in Russia, the difficult times and the persecution and the hard work. He said, we didn't have any time for ourselves. We didn't have any time to go vacation and go do those things. I'm not opposed to vacation. But I say, Lord, help me. Lord, teach me. The Lord's been challenging me. The things that I entrust into your care. Whether it's financial means, whether it's your time, whether it's your circumstances of life, use it to the glory of God. The Lord's entrusted us as stewards of everything that He's given into our care. Lord, help me to know how to prosper with what you've given me. Amen. To make the very best. Isn't that what a steward is? Amen. I want to make the very best use of what the Lord has given me for His glory. Parable of the Talents, 25th chapter of Matthew. They had a responsibility, not to what the Lord entrusted to their brother, not to what the Lord gave to someone else, but what I've given you, what I've given in your life, the things that I've made available unto you. You give an account of that. Lord, help me to use it wisely. Lord, help me to use the things that are at my disposal wisely and to the glory of God. As God hath distributed unto every man riches, poverty, ease or hardship, sickness or in health, let every man, the 24th verse says, therein abide with God. The Lord will make the difference. The Lord will be able to give us the grace to prosper spiritually. And what He's given us. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Second Peter 1, verse 3 is, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great and exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Here's some investments that you need to put into your life. Here are some things that you need to invest in. An investment portfolio, an investment plan. You want some riches? Here's the recipe. Here's something whereby I could be made rich spiritually. I'm going to invest. I'm going to put some deposits in here. I want to be able to have something in the storehouse. I want to be able to have something on hand. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. To temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, what was it that Jesus came to give us? The thief came not before to steal, to take away, to rob from us, to drain our experience, to drain our love, our fervency. But I've come that you might have life. I've come that you might be able to have an abundance of life. Folks, this is the plan that the Lord has for us. An abundance of life. A land that is flowing with milk and honey. The spiritual blessings don't have to be relegated to a generation that's gone before us. Lord, help me to put in for it. Lord, help me to dig for it myself as well. Oh, Lord, I want to have some spiritual riches too. I don't want to just look to others and say, oh, I wish I was as rich as... Oh, I wish I had a faith like they have. Lord, give it to me. Amen. Lord, I want to be as Caleb. It's a mountain, Lord. I don't know how to get there, but Lord, I'm going to start adding some things. I'm going to start giving some diligent application to it. Lord, I want to be there. I want to be able to drink of the flowing milk and honey of abundance. I don't want to just have a little cup full and it runs out and it's dry. But I want to have a river that I can go to and drink from that never runs dry. I want it to run through my life and to have an abundance. Oh Lord, help us to flourish where we are planted. To flourish in our lives where the Lord has put us in our generation. Lord, help us to be as the sons of Issachar that had a knowledge and an understanding of the times and of what Israel ought to do. Lord, help us to know how in our generation, in the United States of America, where I believe just about all of us are from, Lord, help us to know how to prosper spiritually. In the midst of bankruptcy that's all around us, whenever we're facing the dangers of not the stake perhaps, but the dangers of complacency, the dangers of apathy, Lord, help me to be able to face that with the same courage that those Christians faced the stake. Help me to have the same resolve and determination. Lord, help me to flourish where I'm planted. He's given unto us all things. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. According to the great storehouse that He has that'll never run out. Folks, He'll supply our every need. It's available to every one of us. It is custom size, it's Clint size to my situation of life and your situation of life. The Lord will supply our needs. The Lord will give to us what we need to be able to have a spiritual prosperity, a strong faith in the Lord. Oh Lord, help us to have abundance of life. You know, the world is looking for spiritual life. The church world is longing for spiritual life in their services. Where do you think the contemporary music comes from? Amen. It's dead. There's no life here. We got to liven things up a little bit. The Pentecostal movement, the charismatic movement that's sweeping not only our nation but the world. Amen. We want some life. We want to be able to feel like there's some life here and some energy. Yes. Our world is longing for life that cannot be substituted, that cannot be produced by emotionalism, by a false Pentecostal spirit. It can't be manufactured. The Lord wants to give us an abundance of life that starts at our closet at home, that starts on the job, and I bring it here with me to our services. Lord, help us that the Word of Christ would dwell in us. How? Richly. In an abundant measure, in an abundant store. Lord, help me that I not just take the minimum. I'm thankful for streams in the desert. But folks, you're not going to grow just by streams on the desert. Lord, help me to give myself. I don't believe that was just to Timothy or just to the ministers. But that the Word of Christ would dwell richly and in abundance within every one of us. It's not just for the minister. That's part of the new covenant promise. The time will come that no more will every man be teaching his neighbor, saying, know the Lord. But everyone from the least to the greatest will be able to know me for themselves. Will be able to have that same abundant storehouse full. Oh, I can come and I can feed the minister. I can come and I can have an abundance. And we feed one another from our experiences, from the storehouse that I've brought forth. Oh Lord, help me to abound in this day, in this time that I'm living in, according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Want to be as that righteous man that his leaf doesn't fade. That the Lord would be able to trust me. Lord, I don't face a stake. I read those things and I think, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what it would be to face those kind of things. The Lord at this point hasn't asked me to. But He has entrusted me with some things in my life. And He's looking for me to be faithful in those things. He's looking for me to be faithful and to prosper right where I am. If you've run with the footmen and they wearied you, Jeremiah 12th chapter, I believe, how will you contend with the horses? Whenever those times come, Lord, help us to lay up in store for the time to come. Whenever we're in prosperity, whenever maybe we're in a time of complacency, a time of ease, Lord, help me to lay up. Lord, help me to invest, to put into this thing that I might have an abundant store of riches in Christ Jesus that He has for every one of us. You pray for me. Amen.